On this Thursday, let's check the weather forecast with Mike Tenura. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Hey, Mike, thanks for being with us today. Generally, what do you think about the rainfalls we've gotten across the Corn Belt at this point? And tell me a little bit about the hot weather we'll see over the weekend, too.
Well, the rains were pretty decent. A lot of areas saw some pretty good totals over the last week. And if you go back in time, a lot of areas have seen okay rains going back into the middle of June. So even though there are some dry pockets, especially in parts of Indiana and Ohio, and even parts of Iowa for that matter, most areas have seen adequate rainfall over the last several weeks. And that's taken a lot of pressure off what could have been a more significant situation. It's been much warmer than normal for a while. In fact, if we take the temperatures that have affected the Corn Belt over the first 15 days of July, and then project the exact same temperatures through the rest of the month, we'd end up being the number 12 warmest of the last 125 years in the Corn Belt. So that gives you an idea of just how warm it's been. Now, of course, we have to repeat the exact same thing over the next 2 weeks, and the question becomes whether or not that's likely. Well, it certainly is apparent that the southeast half of corn and soybeans will be warmer to much warmer than normal over the next couple of weeks. That's primarily from nighttime temperatures, which will only bottom out around 70, and then a few days that top out in the 90s here and there, including this coming weekend. So that's part one of what we're thinking about. The other part, though, is what's happening to the northwest. The northwestern Corn Belt has also been pretty warm, but they've seen some cool-offs over the last 5 to 7 days. There will be some additional cool-off at times, especially coming up early next week, and that will tend to aid some of the corn and soybeans in the Dakotas, Minnesota, maybe even Nebraska and parts of Iowa. So kind of a mixed bag, but basically it's not going to be all that difficult to have the Corn Belt be warmer than normal in the month of July, and more than likely among the 10% to 20% of the warmest on record based on what we can see right now.
And I take it because when you're talking warmer than normal, it's both daytime and nighttime temperatures, and it's warmer than normal, as you said, because the nighttime temperatures will be higher. So the impact on the corn and the soybean crops, not as much as if we had really high temperatures for an extended period of time.
Well, I think that's part of it, but I think you need to keep a couple of things in mind. I've seen a lot of agronomic studies that have been floating on the internet lately, and most of them have been pointing out that you need temperatures above 95 degrees consistently in order to stress corn during the pollination phase and then even after that. And while that's certainly true, one of the things that's changed over the last several decades is that humidities are much higher in a typical summer in the central U.S. than what it would have been like many decades ago. And that's primarily a function of the corn itself. Corn pulls all that water out of the ground to cool itself, and that makes the humidity levels go up. When the humidity is very high, it's hard to get temperatures to go very high. If you look back at the record high temperatures, even in Illinois, they're around 110 degrees on certain days of the year in the middle of the summer. That's certainly possible that it could happen again, but in a severe heat wave in the future, it'd be much more likely for high temperatures to top out in the low 100s as opposed to closer to 110, but you get all your heat on the nighttime side. At night, the temperatures wouldn't drop as much because of all that humidity. That would keep nighttime temperatures closer to 80, maybe 82 or 83. Well, if you go back in time in those same days where it was 110 degrees, it still would have fallen into the 70s at night. So basically, the diurnal range is what we call that, the difference between the daytime temperature and the nighttime temperature. The daytime temperature has come down a little bit, and the nighttime temperature has come up a little bit in these heat waves, and that's really the way you need to think about it. You can't just isolate one without thinking about the other.
Turn your attention to Russia, Ukraine, some of the wheat-growing regions along the Black Sea. Are there concerns anywhere there?
Well, they've had an interesting setup, at least in the spring wheat areas, which are a little bit further east from the Black Sea and more in the interior areas of Russia and then into northern Kazakhstan. But that area was real cool and saw some pretty decent rainfall about 2 to 4 weeks ago. And then all of a sudden, it totally changed, and now they're in the middle of a dry and severe heat wave. Temperatures yesterday afternoon were more than 20 degrees above normal in the western growing areas of the spring wheat belt in Russia. And that's been happening here on and off for a while, and it looks like it's going to last for at least five more days. After that, things start to change a little bit, and it gets a little bit tricky, but there's enough hints to suggest that that pattern is going to break down. But that's going to be an uncertain thing that needs to be figured out. That spring wheat crop was hit by intense heat at a fairly less than ideal time, and also it was drying during that period as well. So something to keep an eye on over there, too.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yep, great being here.
That was Mike Tenura from T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. He helped us to wrap up this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.